Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Boardroom Buddies podcast. Each podcast is themed, and I interview and ask questions from a specialist who's also the owner of a small business, just like us. If you're a business owner of a micro business, then I hope that this sparks your thinking, answers some questions that you may have, and that you get some tips on the subject that helps you move your business forwards. I do hope that you enjoy the podcast. I very much enjoyed recording it.
So, hello and welcome to this episode of the Boardroom Buddies podcast. So, some of you will be aware that I am coming to the end of this series and we'll be taking a little bit of a break from doing the podcast. And it occurred to me that we spend a lot of time having guests who are all about helping you with some tips about moving your business forwards, you know, in terms of business development and subjects like that. But it occurred to me that we actually haven't talked about investing in your own future, securing your own future, and actually, why are you in business if that is not what you want to do, or at least part of what you want to do? So this week we are concentrating on pensions, and I'm delighted to have Jonathan Bissett of Pross & Knowles as my guest this week. He's an independent financial advisor, or as you'll see on his screen there, financial planning consultant. I quite like both titles. So welcome, Jonathan, to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
So we're not going to cover anything that's kind of outside of, you know, pensions, really. Don't want to know about the budget or anything like that. I shouldn't think anybody else does either. So, Jonathan, how long have you been doing what you do?
So I'm in my ninth year now at Pross & Knowles. So it was my first job, proper job after uni. So Pross & Knowles is all I've ever known, and I've loved it ever since, to be fair.
Right.
Pross & Knowles is quite a predominantly family-run company, particularly when I first started. And I quite like that close-knit approach. Everyone knows each other very well. It's all very friendly in the office. And I've recently, last year, became a shareholder. So I've got no intentions of going anywhere else anytime soon.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, well, Pross & Knowles have been established for quite a while now. Good reputation.
Yeah, 1987, I believe.
So we're going
a long time now. We've got gradually sort of expanded. So we started in Kidderminster. We then had an office in the main Worcestershire office now is in Droitwich. We've got an office in Gloucestershire, which is where I am today. And then we've also got a small presence down in Devon. So we're slowly growing.
Yeah. Does everybody clamber to go to the Devon one?
They don't, to be fair. It's too far to go down the M5.
All right. I mean, not on a daily, but, you know, but no. some customers down there.
I do get some nice pictures from the advisor who's down there when it's a nice sunny day.
How kind.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Okay. So you thoroughly enjoy this. So did you have to do a lot of training to become an advisor?
Yeah. So I actually, my degree was in marine engineering, believe it or not. Putting that to good use. But it meant when I started at Pross & Knowles, I then had to then start doing all my financial exams. Being fresh out of uni was obviously, although I wasn't using my degree, it was a bit of a blessing, because I was sort of in study mode. So
yes,
I was able to quickly pick that up. I spent my first year and a half, 2 years doing exams, during which time you go out shadowing other advisors. And then once you pass those and you feel you're ready to go off by yourself, you do that. Although you can still keep doing exams. So you only need, once you've got your initial diploma, you can technically give advice. But you can go further to improve your knowledge and eventually become chartered if you want, which is where I'm at the moment. So I've got one more to get, and I think then I'll be able to apply to the chartered status.
Okay. So I think you know your stuff, don't you?
Hopefully, yeah. always learning, but hopefully there's a good level of knowledge there.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Yeah. So what is it you like about it?
It's problem solving. So a lot of people assume it's quite repetitive. So setting up a pension for just you know, each individual is the same process, but it's really not, because everyone has their own unique set of circumstances. They might have other properties, other cash, they might be married, they might have children, some don't have children, grandchildren they want to look after. So there's lots of different pieces, which is very different for every individual. And once you know everything about that person, it's then putting it all together, a bit of a puzzle, to make sure they're doing what they can and their money's working as hard as possible for them. So I like that problem solving element, and I just like going and meeting new people. A lot of the job is out seeing clients, so you're not sat behind a desk too much of the time. You're out actually just chatting to people and hopefully helping them make the best of their finances, which I like.
Yeah, I imagine, maybe incorrectly, that there is a lot of paperwork.
There is, to be fair. That's you can't get away from that, and it only seems to get worse as the years go on and regulations get stricter and stricter. So yeah, you can't get away from that, but yeah.
Okay, so you're talking about, you know, if you own a business today, you know, you might be a sole owner or just a partnership, you know, unincorporated, or you might be a director of a limited company. So in terms of pensions then, can both of those businesses help the individual owners or the directors in terms of
their pensions? I deal quite a lot with business owners, particularly over the last few years, because we have quite a lot of relationships with accountants who deal with companies. Obviously can't give financial advice if they get us involved.
Yeah.
One of the common things you do tend to see is those people are working so hard on making sure the business is doing well, and if they've got staff, making sure, you know, the staff are looked after, that normally their own personal finances fall to the wayside, not because they don't want them to do well, they just haven't got the time. And they're too focused on their business. That's quite a common thing you see, whereas if with some help, we can go in and make sure, because you can use your business to really boost your own personal finances, particularly with pensions. So pensions, very tax efficient vehicle, lots of allowances that you can use. You can pay into pensions two ways. So you can pay in personally from your own money, or you can use your business. So lots of limited company owners that I see, what they tend to do is they'll pay themselves a salary and a dividend. Obviously the accountant will help them with that. Normally what I find, not everyone, but most of them will pay themselves up to the higher rate tax bracket, and they won't want to pay themselves anymore because they don't want to go into 40% tax, which is fine. But if the business is still generating a good profit and they're not taking all that profit because they don't want to pay any more tax, what starts to happen then is the cash in the business starts to build up. Because they're too busy running the business, that just builds and builds. And normally you don't get quite a good interest rate on business cash.
No.
Sometimes it's very little. So that money's just sat there, not working as hard as it can be. So what you can do is you can make a pension contribution from the business into a, so let's say you've earned £50,000, you're on the limit of a higher rate tax. If you could then, say, make a £20,000 pension contribution into your pension, there's no further income tax on that. So it's coming out of the business into your pension, no income tax, and your company will actually save corporation tax on that £20,000 contribution.
Mm.
And then it's in your pension, in your own name, which can then grow for when you need it in the future. The growth in the pension is tax-free. Pensions are currently ring-fenced from inheritance tax. So again, it's outside of your estate. That could change, obviously, in the future, but at the moment it's outside of your estate. And then providing it's invested in the right place, hopefully it will grow, potentially grow more than it would if it was sat in cash in the business. So yeah, a very tax efficient thing to do. You can either do it on a monthly basis, or what a lot of company owners tend to do is, because cash flow is not always very predictable, they will wait till their company year end, meet with their accountant, and then just do a lump sum.
As
opposed to the monthly basis, but it's entirely up to you.
Okay. So when I have a new Boardroom Buddies member and we start to kind of do a little bit of delving into why they start their business and what they do and all that, I always start with, you know, what's their vision, what are they trying to achieve, what's prompted them, or, you know, why have they started their business. And quite often I've come across individuals who are not limited, they don't have an incorporated company, they're sole traders, and they don't have a pension. So how can they, you know, how can that affect them, the, you know, starting a pension and being as tax efficient as possible?
So for them, you won't be able to make a company pension contribution, because obviously they're not they're self-employed, but what they can do, they can still contribute to a pension personally.
Yes.
Still a tax efficient thing to do. So if we go back briefly to that £20,000 contribution mentioned earlier from the company, if you made that to your pension, £20,000 would go into the pension. There'd be, and that's it. So £20,000, £20,000 in the pension. Whereas if you made a personal pension contribution, you actually get tax relief on top of that contribution because you've earned that money. It's personal money. So if a self-employed person paid in £10,000 into a pension, the pension would actually increase by 12,500 because you get your tax relief back. So although,
It's increased to 12,005.
yeah, so you pay £10,000 as your pension, and then the government would top that up by 2,500. So in total, your pension would go up by 12,500
Right,
because
yeah.
you get your basic rate tax back that you would have paid on that money.
Right, that's not a bad return, is it?
No, and if you're a high rate taxpayer, you can then claim the additional for 20%. Obviously, an additional rate, you can claim the extra as well. So you do get the tax relief back. So although you can't save the corporation tax and make a contribution from your company, you can still get tax relief. So it's still very tax efficient thing to do. Only thing you've got to bear in mind is if you're putting money into a pension, you can't get it back out unless you're at a certain age. So at the moment, you can access a personal pension from 55, but that's due to change to age 57 in 2028. So the money you do put in, just make sure it's affordable and it's money that you won't need back until that age. It's full retirement. The other thing to bear in mind as well is there's a limit to how much you can put into pensions each tax year. It was £40,000. It was increased this tax year to £60,000. However, if you're doing it personally, let's say I earn £20,000, I can only pay in £20,000. If I earn £80,000, my income, then I'm then capped at the £60,000. So it's either 60,000 or your earnings, whichever's lower. That's the only thing to bear in mind. With a company, it's slightly different. It's all to do with the profits of the company, and normally you take advice from your accountant as to what level they're comfortable with. But still, a tax efficient thing to do, even as a self-employed person.
So we've been talking about some numbers there that are for some sole traders, because they're not, their business is too new, or they haven't got a pension, that's quite a chunk,
Yes, it
just.
is. Yeah.
So what would you say to someone who maybe hasn't got a pension, or has got some previous ones dotted around, because we've all had those, haven't we? Multiple little pension pots, who hasn't got a very big business and can't afford to pay in a lot. So how do they go about, starting a pension? And
So,
what's the benefit? Because a lot of people say to me, oh, I can't afford a pension yet.
well, I mean, a lot of a provider that we use quite a lot, you can set up a brand new pension, and I think the minimum monthly amount is about £99 or £100. So it doesn't have to be huge lump sums. We've got clients who are at the start of their journey, and for them, it's literally just starting an empty shell pension and just starting setting up a regular monthly contribution that can be £100 a month. So it doesn't need to be huge lump sums. Those can come later on down the line. But I would always start as soon as you can, even if it's a small amount, because it all adds up, particularly with compound interest over a longer period of time. So I wouldn't put it off just because you're worried that it's too little a contribution. Definitely not. But yes, people you do have tend to get lots of pensions these days, particularly with auto-enrolment. So every job you move into, you get re-enrolled into a pension or offer the pension. You can look to tidy those up. You'd need to get the likes of a financial advisor to review those plans and make sure you're not giving up something that you wouldn't want to before you do transfer them elsewhere. But no, I would definitely start if you can, if it's affordable, even if it's a small amount, just to get the ball rolling.
And if you started, because I'm imagining, a sole trader with a very new business wants to start, consolidating their pensions and maybe start paying that £100 a month. What happens if things get a bit tough? Can you kind of stop paying in?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So because essentially it's your own personal pension, you can do what you like. So being independent, the beauty that we have is we can go to any provider that we like. It's one thing we do is we make sure we go to a provider who allows that sort of thing to, they don't charge you to change your contribution. They don't charge you to stop the contributions. So yes, yeah, so that's the providers that we use. You can stop, restart, amend. You can literally do what you like. Which was, so for example, during COVID, we had lots of company owners who, although they had the money, didn't know what was going to happen, obviously. Wanted to preserve cash flow. So they just put a stop to the contributions and then restarted them at a later date when they were more comfortable. So you're not contracted to carry on.
Okay. All right. And that's whether you're a sole trader or a director.
Yeah, correct.
All right. And so if I was a sole trader with lots of little pension pots, what do I do?
Get in contact with a financial advisor. You can use us if you really want to. And then what we'll do is we'll do a full fact find with you and find out, again, the piece of the puzzle, your circumstances. We'll look at the details of the schemes you've got. And normally we'd then write off to those schemes and do a full review. So you get right under the bonnet and find out where you're invested, what level of risk you're taking, what charges you're paying to the scheme. Can you, what are the funds they've got available? Do they charge you to change funds? Or even what options it'll let you do in retirement? So we do a full analysis and then we'll come back, let you know what we found. And if we believe it's in your best interest to that it's moved elsewhere or amalgamated, we'll recommend that. And it's up to the client if they want to go or not.
Okay. So do you deal with tiny little company owners? It's not tiny company owners. Business owners of tiny companies.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things I've always liked about Prosonals is the ethos that, you know, you shouldn't ignore the smaller clients because we're quite lucky in that we get 75 to 80% of our business comes from existing clients passing down our name on.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't matter what size a client is, if you do a good job for them there, hopefully they'll pass your name on to other people. And particularly with, you know, company owners, yes, they might have the company might be small at the start, but, you know, if that company does well, then in the future, I think the saying is the acorns turn into oak trees. So, don't worry if it's a small amount to start with.
Okay. And if things didn't work out in your business, whether that's a limited company or as a sole trader, what happens to your pension?
So it stays with you. So it's, even if you've got an auto enrolment scheme that's set up with through an employer, so this is just if you're an employee, even if you leave that company, you take the pension with you. So that will always stay with you.
So it's not like wasted money or anything like that?
No, absolutely not. No.
Okay. No. Interesting. Okay. Okay, so that's really good. And then you mentioned about risk. So, so there's no risk to starting your business. But what about when, I know, markets change and things like that?
Yeah, so contributing to a pension is great. And then once the money is in a pension, what we'll then do with the client is decide what level of risk they want to take with that money. Because obviously, you've moved it from your business because it was sat in cash, not earning a huge amount. So the last thing you want to do is try and pay it into a pension and have it sat there in cash, not earning any money. So we'll put that money to work. So we'll have a risk discussion with the client. We'll do a risk questionnaire and discuss capacity for loss with them and find out what level of risk they want to take. Just because it's invested doesn't necessarily mean it has to be high risk. We can set up a portfolio that's very cautious if that's the way the client is inclined. And it will be spread into multiple funds. So again, with an investment, you don't want all your eggs in one basket. You want to try and diversify and spread your risk. So we'll spread it into multiple funds. And then what we do then is throughout the year, those funds are moved around and rebalanced depending on what's going on in the markets. So if something comes up in the news and one of the funds that client's invested in, we don't think that will react very well, we can then move out of that fund quite quickly and put a fund in its place.
Right.
Basically, the active management is to try and get the best performance we can.
Right.
And also, if markets are falling, what we'll try and do, although we haven't got a magic wand, we can't stop all falls, but if we can cushion falls as much as possible with some active management, then happy days.
Okay. So that came into my head about with markets changing and things like that. And I know that in my own kind of history, someone said to me, you know, have you got a pension? Yeah, but I can't remember who it's with or anything like that. So, and that was before having somebody who manages it. So that's what you do, isn't it? You manage this kind of financial aspect for this individual?
Yeah, so once it's set up, we don't just disappear off to the sunset then. So we'll review that pension each year with a client.
Right.
So if we don't hear from the client, we'll pester them once a year to see them, to let them know how it's going. The client can contact us as much as they like, but we'll endeavour to see them at least once a year too. Because circumstances change, you know, risk levels, you know, that they might, as normally as you get older, you tend to get a bit more cautious. So although you might set up something that's a bit more high risk when you're younger, as you approach retirement, some people tend to notch that down. And circumstances change, business change. So it's always good to make sure that what you set up remains suitable.
So you can change, like, your risk.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Which is important why you go to a provider that doesn't charge you to keep changing funds. Because if you do feel that you need to change your risk level, we can just do it so that the ones that we tend to go to, there's no charge and you can change that at any point.
So are you implying that not all providers are the same?
They're not, no, which is why it's important that we do it. And it's the beauty of us being independent, is we can go to whoever we think suits our clients best.
Right, yeah, okay. And so what do you love about all of that? Because I, having known you for a few years, you love seeing that pension grow, don't you? And that individual benefiting.
It's just nice to, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's periods where you have to deliver bad news. So markets have been particularly difficult over the last few years with COVID and the wars and interest rate rises, etc. That's quickly counted when you get to deliver good news. So I saw a lady yesterday or the day before, and I managed to tell her that she can actually afford to retire now if she really wanted to. And she was worried that she was never going to retire. And we looked at all her assets and what we've got. It found out that she could retire now, and she was over the moon. And it's those sort of meetings that make it all worthwhile.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. That's been really interesting, Jonathan.
No problem.
I can't think that I've got any other questions. Is there anything that you want to kind of add? Maybe you've got some tips for someone who's not sure about pensions or thinking about, do they need one?
My tips would be, so that the most common mistake you come across normally with financial advice is thinking you've got time, which we're all guilty of. So when you're younger, I'll worry about a pension when I'm a bit older. And then in your 30s, you might have young children, and then 40s, you still got children, and you might be really busy with work, so you've climbed up the ladder slightly. And then people tend to come to us in the average client is sort of 40 to 50, where they start to think about retirement, and they always say, oh, I should have done this sooner. So I would always recommend doing it as soon as you can. If you don't feel comfortable doing it yourself, then, you know, seek advice from a financial advisor, and they can take all that stress away from you. And even if it's a small amount, as we said earlier, it doesn't matter. Just as long as you've started, and then later on, as you've got more disposable income, or as your company's doing better, you can always increase the contributions. But yeah, start as soon as you can is the best advice I would give.
Right. Okay. Actually, that's just prompted another question. So if you're employed, so this isn't really business owners, but if you are employed and have, your employed pot, can you start an individual pension as well?
Yes, you can. So let's say you've been auto-enrolled into the auto-enrolled scheme with your employer. Every employer will contribute a different amount. So the minimums at the moment are 5% and 3%, but some employers tend to go, some employers go higher. If you're feeling that you've got cash or your affordability to make further pension contributions, normally first port of call is asking your employer if you upped yours, would they match the increase? Because if they do, then happy days, because it's, you know, essentially more free money that you're getting from your employer. If not, you can then choose whether you want to pay your additional amount into your employer scheme, or you can by all means set up your own pension elsewhere and pay into that instead. So it's entirely up to you. But I would always check first if your employer would match that increase in contribution. You can set up any your own pension by all means.
Yeah. So from a business point of view, if you're not in an employed role, you're going to be, you know, what you're paying is probably equivalent to what you would pay anyway.
Yeah.
If you were employed.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So, so it is about starting early. And if you start early, is the kind of contribution lower, do you think?
So the contribution will always be what's affordable to you. But if you've got a goal in mind of, I want my pension to be a quarter of a million or half a million. Obviously, every year you sort of postpone starting that, the more you're going to have to contribute each month to get to that goal. Obviously, it all depends slightly on the level of risk you take and the growth. You are only making it easier for yourself by starting earlier. Because the best way of improving your chances with investment is really how long you hold that investment, because investments are long term.
Right.
Starting early, you will start to benefit from that compound interest over. Because, you know, if you're starting in your 20s, at best, you know, you've got 30 plus years before you can even access that pension.
Yeah.
Which is a long time for that compound interest to sort of work its magic. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so that's interesting. So any more tips? Starting early is one.
Starting early. The other one is just, if you're not going down the investment route, or another one is having too much in cash. So a big misconception is that cash is risk-free. I appreciate it's very hard to, it's easy to underestimate the effect of inflation. So yes, your cash can't fall in value in monetary terms. So if you've got 10,000 in your bank account, it's not going to drop to 9,500.
No.
So people always assume it's safe. So yes, there's no investment risk with cash, but you do have inflation risk. So, you know, if you're not getting an interest rate that is above inflation, your money will be devaluing. Okay. So very hard to appreciate, because it's not falling in monetary value, but it will be losing value over time if you're not getting an interest rate above inflation. So, I mean, it's always good to keep some cash. Don't get me wrong. The last thing you want is all your money invested. So having an emergency fund is very important.
Yes.
But once you've agreed a figure, so that varies client to client. Some people say, oh, once I've got 20,000, that's my buffer, that's my emergency fund, my safety blanket. Anything over that, then I'll put to
yeah.
work, basically, to work a bit harder for them.
And I suppose that kind of emergency fund or working capital even depends on the size of your business.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah, business. Some businesses don't need a lot to tick over. Yeah, it might be service based, and whereas, or personally, again, the same applies if you. If you're just doing personal contributions and you're self-employed, everyone has an emergency fund in cash if the boiler breaks, for example. So it's good to have some cash.
Do they?
You should do. But yeah, don't underestimate the power of inflation on your cash money. Another tip.
All right. That's brilliant. Thank you ever so much, Jonathan. That's been really interesting. And I hope that listeners, those of you viewing this on YouTube, will have got quite a lot of information from that. If you've any questions about pensions, we've covered topic quite quickly here,
yeah.
But you might have some questions about your own personal circumstances. How do we get in touch with you, Jonathan?
So you can either, if you go on our Prosternals website, you can either call in, you can email us. If you want to check us out beforehand, most of our advisors, including myself, are on Vouched For. So if you ever want to go on and see reviews from real clients, you can do before contacting us. But yeah, call or email, and we always try and get back either answer straight away, or if not, we'll get back to you as quick as possible.
Okay, yeah. And connecting with you yourself?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. So yeah, by all means, connect with me on LinkedIn. Yeah, I mean, I don't go on as much as I should. I always have far too many applications on LinkedIn, but by all means. But the best way is definitely email or
okay. All right. Okay. That's brilliant. So thank you, listeners. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Boardroom Buddies podcast. As I said earlier, we're coming to the end of this series, so we only have a couple more left. But I'd like to thank you, Jonathan, for joining us today. It's been really interesting. Useful information, I hope, for business owners, whether you're a sole trader or a director of a small micro business, or even a bigger one, because I know you have big clients too.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's great. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll know when the next one's out, and you'll be able to access all of them on YouTube and Spotify and Apple, of course. Okay, see you next time.
I do hope that you've enjoyed this episode of the Boardroom Buddies podcast. Do subscribe for more podcasts, and it would be lovely if you shared it on your favourite podcast platform. If you have any questions or you would like to talk any more on the topic, then do connect with me on LinkedIn or email me on jax@jackiekc.consulting. And thanks for listening.